What's up, podcaster or soon-to-be podcaster? Get ready to level up your podcast game because the number one podcast education summit of the year is back, and it's bigger and better than ever. I'm talking about the second annual podcast summit happening on July 4th and 5th in the content creation capital of the world. You already know, ATL, baby. Atlanta, Georgia, going down July 4th and 5th, two full days. Imagine this. Imagine you getting all the game you need to take your voice, your brand, your business to the next level. Imagine getting all the insider tips. Imagine getting all the know-how that you've been craving for the last 2, 3, 4 years where you're talking about you're going to start a podcast, but you haven't yet because you don't have the tools, you don't have the tips, you don't have the tricks. I don't care if you're just starting or you're a seasoned pro. This summit has something for everyone. Picture you mastering the basics of setting up your podcast or unlocking the secrets to grow your brand on social media. We're not just talking about podcasting here. I'm talking about you want to build a long form catalog, whether it's skits, movies. We got people talking about script writing. This is an incredible experience. Imagine discovering the art of securing these lucrative sponsorship deals. And that's not all. Learn the ropes of creating a pitch deck that has sponsors knocking down your door. But wait. There's more. This isn't just a summit. This is an experience. I'm telling you. Rub shoulders with industry leaders. And you got to network with the other people that are doing what you're doing. All the guests that have ever been on Social Proof Podcast, I'm giving them a free ticket. And in exchange, they promise me that they're going to sit down and do short interviews with you. We got podcast booths for our VIP members where you can sit down, pull somebody to a side, and you're going to create content in real time. I know what you're thinking. How do I get a part of this podcasting paradise? Well, it's simple. All you have to do is head over to podcastsummit.com, grab your tickets now, but hold on, because I have something really, really special for you. I got a little treat for my early birds, people who take action. The next 20 listeners and only 20 listeners who get your tickets right now, okay? I'm not only going to give you 20% off of whatever ticket level you get 20% off, but if you use the promo code BIGDEAL, it'll take 20% off immediately, but I'm also going to allow the first 20 people listening to this right now to be able to bring a friend, bring a teammate, bring a partner for absolutely free. You get general admission, they get general admission. You get VIP, they get VIP. Whatever ticket level you purchase, you get to bring a friend, partner, colleague, boo thing for absolutely free. Nothing extra required. My team's going to reach out to you, get your partner's name, or if you don't have the person you no, right now, yet, you got time, no pressure, you get us back. But use that code BIGDEAL, that triggers to let us know you get to bring someone for free. So don't wait. So secure your spot at the number one podcast education summit in the country. Join us July 4th and 5th in Atlanta. Let's turn your podcast dreams into a reality, y'all. Head over to podcastsummit.com. Use promo code Big Deal at checkout and get your tickets now. Don't miss out on the opportunity to take your podcast to new heights, take your brand to new heights, take your business to new heights with this unprecedented offer, okay? I'll see you at the summit. And don't forget to use promo code Big Deal. Welcome to another edition of the Social Proof Podcast. And I'm mad.
Furious. Flaming. Scorching.
Upset.
Torched. Blazed.
Hold on, it's my turn.
Okay. Coming apart at the seams.
All right, let's just go. All right, so look, man, we are live. So me and Donnie are recording. And our community's Actionable CEO morning meetup, they get to listen in while we record live. So this is one of the perks of being in our community. So if you're not in our community, you need to stop waiting and delaying to get this information because you're a few weeks behind. Anyway, I asked the question before we start recording, how many of you are intentionally, it was another word I used, intentionally and, what was the other word? Intentional and focused, pretty much, on making more money in your business this week than you made last week. Focused, intention. How many people the goal is to make more money this week than to make last week? One person commented, Bree said, what does that say? Scroll down a little bit so I can see that. Bree said, Yeah, up. There you go. And definitely intentionally about to make more money this week. Bree said that. But no one else commented. Siobhan, you late. Yes, I'm intentionally and focused on making more money. No, you're not. If you were, you got excited when you heard it. Bonnie.
You know what? I think we have our episode topic today. I think I know what we're talking about. And the topic for today is how to know if I am being serious about building my business.
Or playing.
Am I serious or am I playing? Am I serious or am I playing about being an entrepreneur? Let's go. With this question, you just opened it up. First things first, are you hiding? Are you hiding your business right now? Do people know that you are in business? But even deeper than that, are you afraid to communicate your goals because you're afraid to fail out loud?
Let's talk about the hiding. Let's talk. Are you hiding?
That's
a strong question.
Yeah.
Because hiding means you have to intentionally make sure someone doesn't find you. So me and my daughter, play hide and seek all the time. So she'll hide somewhere. One time I really couldn't find her. She said it's so good. And I lifted up where she was and I still didn't see her. And normally I'd be playing, I'd give her a little time, but I really couldn't find my baby. I'm like, yo, what is going on here? And she pops out like, hey, I'm here. So she was intentional about me not finding her. Now, as an entrepreneur, and I don't think anybody would say it out loud, right, Donnie? But some people are intentionally hoping that no one finds out about their business because then they'd have to explain the business to somebody. Mm-hmm. They'd have to actually service the client.
Mm-hmm. Not only that, you have to admit to the public that you are working on a thing. And when you have to reveal that you're working on a thing, now you're facing scrutiny. Now you're facing scrutiny from the people that are close to you, closely connected to you. And typically when we're hiding our business, it's because we are in fear of judgment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why build it if you're going to hide it?
Why even pay for that LLC if you're going to hide it?
All that time, energy, and attention focusing on building the thing out. You get really, really excited until it's time to go to market. And now you're hiding. That's crazy.
Why spend all that energy, all those notebooks, all that time, all these conversations, all these questions? Why spend so many years watching the Social Proof podcast and podcasts like Social Proof just to hide your business?
Are people in love with building it and not growing it? Like, do people find passion in building it in terms of, oh my gosh, I have the most amazing idea. Oh, that logo's not right. It needs to look more like this. And he spent weeks on the logo and the colors and the branding and the website. The website's not ready yet. We got to fix these three words on there. I don't like the placement of it. Let's put all that together. We'll get the product. We'll print them up. We got to make sure the shipping is right and the packaging and all that stuff. And I think people spend years. I think you identified it, Donnie.
Yeah.
People spend years in that mode because they are in love with that process, but they don't do all of that to take it to the market or to live their dreams or to make more money than they thought they could make. They only do that because they love doing that.
They're in love with thinking about it, not being about it. They're in love with the thinking process, not the working process, because interestingly enough, we speak to entrepreneurs all the time, and I see so many entrepreneurs who stay in the phase of tweaking a logo too long, trying to build their own website or landing page, and staying in that, like, you do something, you think about it. You do something, you think about it. You never put it to work.
Yeah.
So we're staying in this visionary stage too long. We're staying in this thinking about it phase too long. We are staying in this market research phase too long. And it's not that you don't know how to start, you're hiding.
Yeah, but I think that's one category of the person who is thinking, strategizing, all that kind of stuff. But then you graduate to the person that's actually doing the work. The, mm-hmm. Like the building. Building something does take work, yeah, right? In sure. terms of you're working on a, you're building a car, right? It takes work because you got to mm-hmm. really go in every day into your garage and build this car.
Yeah.
I think the third phase, which people really don't want to cross over into, is opening that garage door and letting people see the thing that you built.
Mm, so I think that brings us to number two. How do I know if I'm serious or if I'm playing mm-hmm. about my business? Is you have to have a willingness to start.
You have to have a willingness to start.
You have to have a willingness to start. Like, you can be so focused. You can be, and I've seen this. I've done this, you know, where you may have all these ideas that you, we've done it together. Mm-hmm. We have all these ideas and we spend hours talking about them, talking through them, being excited about them, mapping it out on paper. And we've invested all this time and energy, sometimes even money, and we don't start. We're not serious because we haven't been willing to start. We haven't been willing to find the time, clear the time, clear the space. All we've been willing to do was strategize.
Yeah.
All we've been willing to do was get together and mastermind and connect about a thing. But we haven't taken that initiative to actually start it. Mm-hmm. And so your willingness to start is an indication of the initiative that you're willing to self-impose mm-hmm. to get this thing started. It's on paper. Yeah. You've done the research. Maybe you've invested a little bit of money. You've opened the accounts. You've established the LLC. And when we're talking about starting, I'm not talking about establishing the LLC.
Yeah.
I'm not talking like that's the pre-start.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the bank account. I'm not talking about the mailing address. And I'm talking about starting. I'm talking about putting something out there to ask for customers, to solicit mm-hmm. for business. That is your start. Your website, your all that stuff, all those things are your pre-start phase that you do before you can start the business. It's like if you had a brick and mortar, when you get the location, that's your pre-start. Now you've got to put some inventory in there. And we're mm-hmm. working through our pre-start phase, before we're ready to start phase. The day that you get your inventory in there, the day that you are able to, you've got your marketing materials, you've received everything. Now you need to let people know you have things available for them. Now you need to solicit for customers. Yeah. That is your start.
So why, one, people really fool themselves into thinking that they started because it does take hard work to get it off the ground, to get it ready mm-hmm. for the public. It does take hard work.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? And I think a lot of people fool themselves into thinking that that's the work and that's why they're exhausted. But like I said, like opening the garage door to show people what you built. Why do you think that is such a big struggle, even though you spent so much time and energy and attention on building it?
Yeah.
And it's right.
I believe it's a struggle because, again, it goes back to fear. It's like, okay, as long as you have control of the outcome when you're in that pre-start phase, mm-hmm. when you're starting versus started, right?
Yeah.
So I have control of the outcome with my website. I know that I'm going to pay somebody and I will get the result. I'm going to get the website. I have control over the outcome of the LLC, control of the outcome.
You want a seat at the table, but what if you want a seat at an award show, a seat at Fashion Week, or a seat with the board of directors for a cause that excites you, a career that puts you in the driver's seat where your passions become your purpose? Do you love the world of music, the excitement of high fashion, or perhaps you're driven by a desire to make a difference? No matter your passion, accountants are helping to lead the way to keep the music playing, the runways alive, and communities thriving. Imagine being an accountant, working in the music industry, working closely with your favorite artists on their financial strategies, or picture yourself as an accountant working in fashion, an essential part of the production process, helping designers thrive. Or how about an accountant working with nonprofits, impacting the community by guiding fiscal decisions? Well, Deloitte's Making Accounting Diverse and Equitable, or MADE, M-A-D-E, is here to help you seize that seat. They're redefining accounting, especially for high school and college students, with a core focus on making a difference. If you're on the hunt for a career where your passions meet potential, take a moment to visit Deloitte MADE's website at DeloitteMADE.com. DeloitteMADE.com. Wherever important decisions are being made, accountants are helping to lead the way. The future of accounting starts with you.
come over establishing the corporation and all the, or the bank accounts and all this stuff. When I put myself out there and I post that flyer and I say our doors are open and we're ready for business, I do not have the control of the outcome.
Yeah.
It's like you hit post and you run, like, because you don't know that a customer is coming. You don't know that money is going to be generated. Maybe you don't feel like you've done enough research to know that you're really putting out an offer that your community needs, right? Yeah. And that's the part. People are afraid of the unknown outcome.
100%. Goodness gracious. Listen, I feel for everybody that's listening to this right now, and you feel a way in terms of, you know, this is you. You know that you continue to keep yourself busy with busy work, but now that it's time to actually show the world and take it to the market, ask somebody for a sale, like Donnie said, you aren't in control of that, so you're afraid of the outcome because you can't control it. Mm-hmm. And I think if we were too excited in the building of it, and we're telling people, we're working on something, now the anxiety hits of, am I going to live up to the hype that I said I was going to be doing?
Yep.
Can I live up to that?
Can I live up to it?
And that is a real fear. Listen, we are not even here to bash. I was upset, but now I'm starting to feel that. I'm feeling where people are coming from, because you have this idea of how something's going to work out. How embarrassing is it? Not even to other people, because in the grand scheme of things, other people don't care.
Yeah.
You feel embarrassed. I saw, you know, Maddie posted this video. I guess it's a show where you talk for a while, and I think it's like virtually, or you're dating, and I don't know if you see, I don't know how it works, but you have this whole wedding, and you get to the altar, and that's when you decide if you're going to stay with somebody.
Oh, isn't that Love is Blind show? They just did the season finale or something like that.
I think that was the name of it.
And that guy, AD, oh no, the girl is AD. The guy, I think, is Clay, because it's viral all over the internet.
Imagine that.
Yo, the pain of it all.
I think it's all good. We got the bridesmaids' wedding dress fitting. This whole time, actually, I think it's a very toxic show, actually, because you are getting these people's hopes up. The process of getting your wedding dress fitted, makeup done, you got your loved ones there.
Your whole family's there.
Your whole family's, your friends are there.
Your friends are there. The world is there via national TV.
That man got up on that altar
and said, I'm not ready. I am sorry.
It wasn't even, I'm not ready. He said something more painful, almost like, pretty much, you ain't it. You ain't the one. Not that I ain't ready. I don't want you, pretty much. And because I thought, when I just saw the clip, I said, ain't no way. Because I'm thinking in my mind, this is a regular, y'all got together, y'all was together for a while, y'all got the marriage, and then you get on the altar and say, I don't want you. But it was a show. But when I saw it initially, there was almost like a sword through my heart when he said that, and I looked at that woman's face.
And those tears began to flow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was bad. And what's interesting to me is more people sign up easily. Like, it's easier for people to sign up to be on shows like that than it is for them to post about their business.
But in their head, they think the same thing is going to happen. They're going to open up their business, announce it, and the world is going to say, we don't
you
want
ain't
you.
It. You're not it. This ain't it. We don't want you. Go back to the drawing board. Go back to the drawing board. And here's the thing. What if that does happen?
Yeah.
You have to be ready to deal with the what ifs, right? But you can't stay stuck because of them. But we do really have to, like, pre-think the outcome. One of the strongest pieces of advice that I've been given in my career in personal development is to think of, and I teach this now because it resonated so much with me, it made a difference. When you are going after a thing, think about all of the possible outcomes. in how you would respond to them. And this is actually a lesson that I learned through some sales training, right? So when you are about to prepare for a sales call or whatever, you pre-think through what the objections are going to be so that if you're a really skilled salesperson, you know how to handle those objections out of the gate. So I know what to do if somebody says, oh, I don't know, I need to talk to my spouse about it. I know what to do if somebody says, oh, let me call around to this competitor and find out. You have to know what to do in the event the world rejects you for whatever the possible reasons are that you might get that rejection. It could be your price. What if people aren't feeling the price? Maybe they're not feeling the branding. Maybe they're not feeling you. Maybe it's your personality that they don't like and they don't think you're professional enough. You have to be able to know enough about what you're putting out there to identify. This is where your research comes in. What could possibly make this not work? What are the odds that I have stacked against me, including your personal dynamic? Maybe I have a spouse who won't be supportive. Maybe they won't come to the grand opening. How am I going to feel about that? How am I going to process this? If you can get ahead of the problem before the problem presents itself and already think through, this is possible. This is how it's going to make me feel, but this is how I rebound. You will survive at a much faster rate. You'll move through that because it's like, oh, I knew this was possible. Mm-hmm. I knew you could come. Here's how I'm going to deal with that.
Let me ask you if this is a toxic answer or way of thinking. I am going to launch and I'm going to build it out and I'm going to offer it to the public. But in my mind, I always come up with a bunch of excuses why it didn't work if it didn't work. I pre-plan the excuses. So last year at Podcast Summit, I'm like, we wanted 1,000. 750 came, but I wasn't even sure if the 750 were coming. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, I already planned on the fact that we did it on a Sunday and Monday, and we just picked bad days. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I pre-planned if there's not that many people.
How are we going to make it look good?
Well, yeah, for sure. First off, you plan on this place can hold X amount of people with chairs. Mm-hmm. It'll hold half the amount of people with tables.
Let's just put some tables in that thing.
Oh, bruh. If it was 300 people, it would have just, we wanted to give y'all room. We just get over COVID. Mm-hmm. Spacing, social distancing.
We want to give you some space. We want you to take so many notes and be so well prepared that we've given you the space that you need. But here's the thing.
Hold on. You ever did an event and a lot of people didn't come and you said, yeah, we wanted it to be intimate?
Oh, for sure. For sure. We've done that before. Like, absolutely, we want it. And so here's the, we have, y'all, we're being honest. This is literally our journey. Me and David have planned events and we're like, let's just keep this at 100 people, right? Mm-hmm. And then we're doing whatever we're doing. And it's not usually out of fear for us. It's usually out of lack of execution, mm-hmm. right? Yep. But we'll say, okay, we'll open this up to 100 people. And then as we're going on and we're looking at the ticket sales and we're checking in, we're like, I mean, 40. A strong 40 will work for sure, right? We have done that more times than not.
And when the 40 come, we really wanted to keep this intimate.
We want to keep this intimate. Here's the thing. I want to be able to touch every person in this room. We're going to keep this intimate because I'm really invested in your outcome. And that's the truth. But if 100 people would have shown up, I would have still been really invested in your outcome.
Or if the 100 people showed up, like, yo, we wanted to make sure y'all had enough people y'all can connect with mm-hmm. and communicate with. And that
real way. Relationships.
Real relationships. But the difference between us is we are going to do it Anyway.
We're going to do it if 10 people show up.
For sure. We're going to be able to handle the outcome because we're not emotionally tied to the outcome. We just know whatever happens, it was supposed to happen that way. That's how it was supposed to be designed. Mm-hmm. But go ahead. Yeah.
We have done that. I think number three to this is, you know that you're serious and not playing if you have a clearly defined goal.
Yes.
You have to have a clearly defined goal. And here's the thing about your goal. Your goal can evolve over time. I believe that people don't set goals because, one, they're not clear in their outcome, but two, They don't want to be restricted to just this. And you have to understand that if you set a goal of like 1,000 new customers in a year's time frame, you're not stuck there. It's just a target. It's a reference point. It's like, here's your bullseye. Think about shooting darts. We have the bullseye, but you still score points if you hit close to it.
Mm-hmm. That's a bar.
Still going to score if you hit close to it. I'm reading 12 Week Year. We've been talking about this. I'm rereading 12 Week Year. And in the book, it says that when it comes to goals, goals can sometimes be so dangerous, and these to-do lists can be so dangerous toward the goal, because in a person's mind, you feel the person who set the goal, they feel like they have to hit that 100% mark every single time. But the truth of the matter is, when interviewing extremely successful people, they've admitted to operating at 85%. If you operate at just 85% of what that goal is, you're still doing an excellent job, 100%. Right? And studies have shown that if you operate at just 70-75%, it'll be a little bit more difficult for you, but you can still accomplish the goal. 100%. It's not going to be as smooth sailing as if you were maybe at 85-90%, mm-hmm. but you'll still hit the goal. And I don't want you to miss this. Your goal is just the center of that bullseye. Yeah. That's all it is. It's the center of that bullseye. Not hitting that goal doesn't make you a failure. You will still put points on the scoreboard if you hit somewhere in the area.
Yeah, if in baseball, if you bat like 300, meaning you strike out 7 times out of 10, you make millions.
That's 70%.
That's 30%.
Oh, 30%, I'm right. Saying, that's 70% like, failure.
For sure.
30% success.
We have probably failed more times than we won, right?
But for sure.
It only takes that one. You can strike out the entire game, but that one last at-bat where you got 3 runners on base and you hit it out the park, nobody even remembers those last strikeouts.
Nobody remembers. And let me tell you, I'm in the middle of failing right now.
I stay in the middle.
You guys, I am in the middle of failing right now, right? But I'm still going to make 7 figures. It's still going to happen. And there are things like right now, for example, there are some of my sites, like all my things were built at the same time. And there's this one plugin that was installed on my site, on all my sites. And so now every single site that was built at that time has gone down. Right. Wow. And so I spent all this time, I'm spending time trying to figure it out. I bring on all these tech experts. They can't figure it out. There's some unique plugin that the last tech team put in place, and they coded it in a way that nobody could find what this was. Finally figured it out. Well, by the time we figure it out, we're in the middle of a system update and system change and all these different things. But it didn't stop me from generating business. I immediately told my team, like, don't send anybody there. Just send them straight to this part. Yeah. Like, there are my normal steps, the way that I want the process to work, couldn't work. That doesn't mean that we don't do any work. That means that we figure it out. That means that even though we had all these automations and things that are supposed to trigger off this way, if that's not happening, guess what we got to do? We got to get pen and paper out. We got to get to work.
Absolutely.
We got to go back to the drawing board, and we have to get to work. And that's just what it is. And so many people expect perfection, or it's not even that they expect perfection. So many people invite their excuses in to have a seat. My excuses can't get comfortable in my house. I'm not inviting my excuses in to have a seat. I see that you're there. I know that you stopped by. I saw you at the door, but I'm busy. Mm-hmm. I'm busy figuring out how to get around this excuse.
For sure.
For sure.
Man, I hope some people that saw that or listened to you said, see, I've even started a business. If Donnie can't figure it out, Donnie's going through it. David's going through it. Of course, why would I even start? But guys, you have to go through this. Mm-hmm. I want you to expect it. I want you to expect the hardships of it and go through it. I believe people don't launch their business for fear of failure, but I don't want the goal initially to be success, period. Let me explain that. Your goal shouldn't be, your main goal shouldn't be success for those that are just starting. For some of you, success should be the fact that you started. For some of you, the goal should be the fact that you're actually willing to make 3 calls a day. You want to go vend it 2 places a month. The fact that you did it should be the win, because this is a learning process. Listen, we've been entrepreneurs for decades now. Decades. How many losses you think we took over decades? How many lessons over decades? It's not the wins that help you win. It's the losses that help you win. You lose and figure out what you did wrong. I know what. I'm not a real tech guy, but I know there's certain questions Donnie's going to ask the next time somebody builds a website.
For sure.
But how do you learn that?
You go through what you're going through. And that's the thing. And I think that can be a number 4, I believe. Mm-hmm. Number 4 is embrace the losses,
yes,
as you would embrace the wins, right? Yes. And when you say embrace the loss, yes, it hurts. Yes, it's an inconvenience. Yes, it makes things more difficult. But what it doesn't do is make anything impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing becomes impossible. And whenever you're going through like what I'm dealing with, okay, so we can't do this. This isn't working. We can't do this. We can't figure it out. Instantly, my mind goes to, well, what can we do? What can we do right now temporarily? No matter how ugly it is, no matter how imperfect it is, what can we do to still do business?
Yeah.
Period. And that's where your mind has to go. You have to look at these losses as lessons, right? And you hear that all the time, but you literally have to sit down and process like, okay, what does this lack of support mean? If I'm not getting support from the people that I really, really wanted it from, then where can I get the support, right? How can I put, and then you would go to, okay, well, my spouse isn't supporting, my family isn't supporting. Let me go on to Facebook and find other people who are into this and leverage them as support. Let me find somebody that I can consider an accountability partner and leverage them as support. Let me find the 1 or 2 people that are actually cheering for me and leverage them for support. Let me support myself at the highest level and just leverage my own self as support. Like, you have to look at that. Your website's gone down. Okay, well, you can't do this. Can you go to Wix real quick and throw up a templated website today so that you can still handle business like clockwork? Your team isn't coming in. Okay, who can we get to come in and help today? What can I do extra? What can I take off of my calendar to handle these fire issues right now? Like, it has to work or it has to work. We're literally dealing with it right now. One of the Social Proof producers is out on paternity leave. Shout out to Zell. Shout out to Zell and Kai for having their baby. They just had a baby boy. But that makes it more difficult in the studio. We've got all these shows that are being produced. Dave needs a full-time videographer. I need a part-time videography, but then there's all these other shows that have to be produced around it. Well, we don't quit the shows.
Right.
we don't quit the shows. We don't quit the shows. We don't go into panic mode. We sit down and we figure it out. And the conversation that we had to have around it got a little, you know, like, okay, we got to figure this out, yeah, right? And it wasn't a fun conversation to have because there are inconveniences that have to be made in the meantime. But at the end of the day, you got to do what's best for the network. You have to do what's best for the business. You have to do what's best for the final outcome. Nobody wants to change their schedule. We're on a routine. People don't welcome change. Yeah. Nobody wants to change anything around. Nobody wants to not see Zell sitting right there where Kay is sitting right now. Kay is sitting doing what Zell would normally be doing right now. Right. We have to figure it out.
Yeah, 100%. There's a lot of things you can do with $500. I mean, you can have a night out with your significant other. You could buy some really expensive shoes. Well, really nice shoes are about double $500. You could buy a course where you can learn something for $500. But I have something better for you to do with the $500. I want to meet with you every single morning for the rest of your life. Well, maybe not the rest of your life, but every morning, Monday through Friday, for the rest of the year. I have information and game that have allowed me to build a successful business, a successful community, and a successful life all the way around. But I want to share that with you. But the only way we can accomplish this is not me selling you a course, not me giving you a one-on-one consultation, because even with that, you'll get the information, but you'll need more. I want to meet with you every single morning. Now, would I meet with someone every morning for $500 for a year? And the answer is yes. Actually, we've been doing this thing since 2017. We have what's called the morning meetup. Every single month, we have a theme, whether it's social media, whether it's motivation, whether it's strategy, whatever it is, we have a theme for the month. And every morning in that month, we have a conversation around that topic. And I am giving a wealth of knowledge, not only myself, but a lot of friends, a lot of people that you see on this podcast, they join every single week. So you need a community of people that you can grow with, and you need a coach. I'm your coach. The Morning Meetup is your community. Go to themorningmeetup.com. It's $499, and I will meet you every single morning for an entire year. Give it a shot. What are you going to do, y'all? I mean, you could live your whole life in fear if you want, but you have to embrace this stuff. You have to almost expect it. You know what I mean? Like, there's certain... And I don't want to throw off anybody's way of looking at things, whether you have a very positive mindset and nothing's going to rattle you. For me, I expect opposition. I'm looking for the opposition, because just throughout my life, life has trained me to that opposition is coming. So I'm intentionally looking at it. Like, if you are on a first date, and let's say you've had a bad dating experience, you have to look for the red flags. You can't be so positive
optimistic.
You can't be so positive and optimistic that you think that every single person that you meet has the qualities that you prayed for and put on your vision board. There's questions that have to be asked for you to identify. You have to be looking for the red flags. As I launch a business, I'm looking for the red flags. Doing an event, I'm looking for them. I'm expecting them. And I'm trying to get ahead of them before they come. Right. But when they do come, Donnie, I'm not so heartbroken that it hit that way.
Yeah.
Because I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of newer entrepreneurs, they expect business to run the way they saw it in their head. They launch, make $100,000 their first day, and they just ride off into the sunset. I'll be leaving my job 3 weeks later, and I'm going to get a Lambo. And when I get all this money, I'll be finding my spouse, because I have more time, be intentional about that part of my life. And it don't work like that.
You know, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, and I want the people who are watching this right now, and even our guests that we have watching us live, I want you to take out a piece of paper or pull out your phone, and I want you to write down at least 5 things that have gone wrong that you didn't stop doing. I have one.
5 things that have gone wrong that didn't cause you to stop.
That did not cause you. You did it again anyway.
Okay. All right, give me one.
Most grown adults have had a tragic sexual encounter. But it didn't stop you from getting it.
Having more encounters. Tell me about your tragic. I mean, just to help the audience, what's your most tragic?
So, for example, no, I'm just no, but seriously, most adults, most grown people have had really bad sex. And
all right, stop. Don't use the word, because it's kind of strong. And last time we were kind of graphic.
Were we graphic?
Not graphic.
We haven't been graphic. But listen, no, let me bring this point in. You've had it, that activity has far greater lifelong or far more dangerous outcome potentials than you talking about your business. Many people have been in a car accident before. Totaled the vehicle. You're still driving. Driving your car every single day has far more significant possible negative outcomes than you posting about your business.
And you've had some very, very rough nights after a long night of drinking.
But
you even told God...
Over the toilet,
that if God gets you out of this situation, you'll never pick up another bottle again.
You'll never do it again.
And look at you.
You'll never do it again.
Look at you last weekend.
You have grown men... who are on basketball courts, 30s, 40s, 50s, mm-hmm. on the basketball court, tearing an Achilles, mm-hmm. messing their bodies up. They go through surgery. They go through painful physical rehab. Guess what they do as soon as they're better? Get right back on that court. Get mm-hmm. right back. Literally causing permanent damage far beyond what posting about your business or what being serious about your business can do to you. Like, and I want you to think about that. And I'm not being funny here, but it's a mindset shift that has to happen. What are you telling yourself in those experiences? What are you telling yourself during those times that make you say, I'll try it again? Like, think about that childlike imagination when your parents are teaching you how to ride a bike without training wheels for the first time, and you're gonna fall. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely gonna fall. They prepare you for the fall.
For sure. 100%. Kay is here. Let's act like Kay is not here. We'll just talk.
We'll just talk.
Okay. So, hey, y'all do know anything that happens here is susceptible to be on the Social Proof Podcast. Right? You okay, right? You know it's coming. You know it's coming. So I come in one day, and Kay was like, hey, I want to go to Terrica's Mastermind. She said, the tickets are out of control. She said, can you give me some of your Sky Miles? I was like, give me some of my Sky Miles?
She asked that question like, yeah. Seriously?
It then provided all the reasons why I should give her some Sky Miles. Dave, you got millions of Sky Miles, you give away. And then Reese was sitting right there, too. I was looking at Kay. And I said, okay, I'm not about to give you no Sky Miles to book this flight. Because the next time Reese asks me for some Sky Miles, what am I going to say? No, I can't do that. I would like, oh, Reese, some Sky Miles, right? So she was like,
okay, that's a private conversation, first of all.
Nah, but she did some work, and she made some money on the work that she did for me. It's like a commission type work. Mm-hmm. She brought in some money and she makes some of that money. I was like, I can give you an advance on that. She's like, all right, cool. Next day, Terrica's here and we're doing some footage with Terrica. Kay's like, hey, you got some Sky Miles? I want to go to your mastermind and I want you to give me some Sky Miles.
Kay has gotten comfortable.
here's the thing. Terrica says, I got you. Yes, no problem. So we start shooting the content with Terrica. And then for some reason, I remember that Kay is in Terrica's mastermind doing real estate. And I remember her posting about some real estate stuff. And I'm like, Kay, how many people have you talked to and asked for, you know, to invest in a property that you found? Or are they going to sell their property? All that kind of stuff. Guess what those answers are?
None.
So she's willing to ask me, Terrica, relentless about going after this thing, mm-hmm. right? Mm. However, for it's something about business and entrepreneurship that people are afraid to apply that same energy to. And then Kay, after that session, I said, Kay, before you get home, ride through some neighborhoods and find out if some people try to sell their house. Look at some abandoned looking houses. Skip trace. Right, Kay? Did you do it? You did that day? What'd you find? But you did it? How many days since then have you done that?
How many days ago was that?
About a week ago.
So it's been a week.
It's been a week.
You were very serious about getting there. You were very serious about getting to your potential solution. Mm-hmm. You learned about the solution. You took notes? Did you take notes?
Bruh.
At the mastermind? Oh, it's coming?
But she's been through some other, but she knows how to break down formulas. She's educating me on some real estate stuff. She understands.
You have taken some notes during this process.
Bruh. She knows real estate.
So you've invested both time and energy, exhausted your brain power because you're having conversations around it. You've done some research. But you're not being consistent.
Here's what's crazy. So, and Terrica brings up this point. She's like, all right, that's cool. So I'm having a field day with the whole Sky Miles thing, first off. And Terrica's like, yo, you have a person who's actively, I'm on Zillow and LoopNet and Craigslist every day. Every day I'm just looking at problems. I was on a call with, shouts out to Tiffany Tyus. She does tax sales, mm-hmm. right? So I'm on a call this morning with Tiffany and she's showing me these are the ones that's coming up for sale. The tax sale is this coming Wednesday or next Wednesday or Tuesday, something like that, Tuesday. So it's April 2nd. Mm-hmm. So we're going to the courthouse steps. She's like, this is the research on the properties. This is what they owe. This is how much it's going to be. All that kind of stuff. So I'm actively looking at this stuff. And Terica says, you see a real estate investor every single day.
Ouch.
You could really be bringing him deals. So I'm going back to Sky Miles. I'm like, yo, she'll ask me from Sky Miles, but she's not going to ask me to invest in no property. And I sent her a property that I like. Ask me what she told me about the property.
What did she tell you, David?
Nothing. No. I sent her one that I found that I like.
No feedback.
And I'm like, check it out. You know it's out of love, right, Kay? Okay.
Tough love.
Tough love, nonetheless.
Yeah.
But I want us to be intentional. If we say we want something, let's go after it. Or let's not even say it at all. Let's just not say it.
Let's just hold on to the whole idea. Don't try to make yourself, me, or anybody else believe that you're really wanting something. See, here's the thing.
Talk to me.
Let me tell you something about being in environments like this. And this brings me to number five, establishing a network of people who can help you. Have you asked for help, right? Here's the thing. There are going to be categories of people. Mm-hmm. And in this instance, there's going to be a category of people that you can share your dreams, goals, and ideas with. One category, you share your dreams, goals, and ideas, and they have nothing to say. Right? Mm-hmm. They have nothing to say or nothing positive to say. Then you're going to have a category of people who you share your dreams, goals, and ideas with, and they're going to cheer you on, but they cannot help you. Mm-hmm. Then there's a category of people that you are going to share your dreams, goals, and ideas with. They are both going to cheer you on and be in a position to elevate you and help you.
Oh, this is good.
You all are connected, and everybody who's watching Social Proof Podcast, you all are connected to two individuals here that cheer you on and can help you and elevate you. You cannot be around us talking about dreams, goals, and ideas and expect that we are not going to expect you to follow up with it. Mm. You cannot sit in this space and be a person who tries to convince us. We can tell immediately if you're serious or if you're playing. Yeah. You cannot be in front of me. Like, I believe that people think that I'm so direct because I have expectations of you once you communicate your dreams, goals, and ideas. Mm. I have expectations. See, people have been letting you slide your whole life. Yep. People keep listening to all these ideas and they keep asking you about it and they keep accepting that you hadn't had time yet. The kids haven't gone off to school yet. You got to do this because of your spouse. When you get over the flu, people have been accepting that part of you for so long, but I am not that person. David Shands is not that person. Nice. You come around us and tell us that you want something, we're going to ask you what you're doing to get it.
Mm-hmm. Listen, if you don't say that you want something, I don't got nothing to say to you.
I don't have anything to say.
Some people just don't want anything, and that's fine. Conversations I have with Reese, and come on, you knew he was next. But what I love about Reese is he is actively just trying to figure out what his thing is. Mm-hmm. And I'm cool with that. I'm like, mm-hmm. yo, you figure it out? Mm-hmm. He's like, nah, not yet. But, you know, I think I like this. I think I'm about to try to do it. I'm 100% cool. Mm-hmm. But just know, once you say, this is where I'm directed, this is my target, once you say that, just prepare yourself. Or just don't tell me.
Don't tell me. My daughter gets so annoyed with me all the time. She'll come, she'll mention an idea. Deja, I don't know what she's done. She knows not to follow up with me anymore, right? Don't follow up with me because I am a multiplier and I am going to help you.
I am a multiplier. Oh, before you finish, break that down. I like that.
If you present something that can grow to me and I have the ability to help you grow it, it's going to grow. If you produce an idea and a work ethic that can produce and yield a result, and all you're missing is information that I have, I am going to multiply what you bring me.
Mm, I like that.
Period. And that's in.
Somebody throw that in the chat real quick. Are y'all multipliers? Just throw it in the chat real quick. I know I am a multiplier.
Y'all got too many people who are dividers in your circle.
Whoa.
Ooh. You got to get more multipliers.
Or are you a divider yourself?
Or anything are you a divider?
Anything you get in your hands, you start taking away.
Mm-hmm.
And then blame somebody else for the fact that it's divided. All right, let's do some quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you can keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headache, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required. Access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. It just makes sense. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit from NetSuite? I know you see it. Listen to me. If you have everything scattered in business, you cannot grow. And everything is more expensive when you have more and more processes layered on top of each other, more and more softwares. You got to get out of that. And it will improve efficiency and cut costs. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/socialproof. That's netsuite.com/socialproof. netsuite.com/socialproof. It's so important that Black voices are represented in Black media for so many different reasons. And the next generation of Black voices and influencers from Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collections, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. And every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Smyrna to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truths. I listen and I'm enjoying these conversations that are for us, by us. Black representation, again, it hasn't always been shared from our perspective. And Black perspectives haven't been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. It's NPR Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as very nuanced and Black as the country we reflect. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen to the Black Stories, Black Truths on NPR, wherever you get podcasts. Got it. It's less than you started
with. It's less than what you started out with. You can, I'm a multiplier. I don't even think in the concept of division. My brain just doesn't work like that. You can bring me very, very little. If you bring on it, if we're measuring things on a scale of 0 to 100, if you bring me nothing, I can't multiply nothing. But if you just bring me one, if you just bring me 1% of something, I can help you multiply that. So for me, it looks like directness. For me, it looks like hard accountability. For me, sometimes it can even look like micromanagement, but it's because I instantly see the multiple and I know that I can help you get there.
So with number 6, focus on multiplication, which that word is scary for some people if you've got this nasty relationship with math, but if you put in $100, your goal should be to multiply it. Can we take 100 to 200? I know you got this vision of millions in your mind, but when I got them first 72 t-shirts, when I printed them first 72 t-shirts, let's just say I spent $700 on it, my goal was to turn it into 1400. My goal, I want to make six figures this year. But my first goal was, how do I multiply the, how do I leave out of this situation, this interaction, with more money than I put in? I put in 700. I had 700 first. Mm-hmm. I put in 700. Now I have nothing. Mm-hmm. My first thing is, how do I get my 700 back so I can at least break even? Mm-hmm. I put my 700 to the side because I'm like, okay, I'm just going to print up 72 more t-shirts. Mm-hmm. But what I found was I had more shirts to make another 700. Mm. Twice. So I was able to, like, 3X. My 700 turned into 2,100. Take the first 700, and my first goal is, how can I double it?
Yeah.
How can I come in with more than I started with? Mm-hmm. But if in our head, if we don't make $1 million in our first year, or we don't make six figures in our first month, we feel like we did something wrong. I'm telling you, if you can be a multiplier, if you can turn 2 into 4, if you could turn 100 into 200, yeah, you can win big. Yeah.
But are you even thinking multiplication, or are you thinking division? And I know what it feels like. I know what that experience is to think either of those things. If you are focused on the divisive thoughts, you will not succeed. At least you won't succeed the way that you could potentially have succeeded if you were thinking duplicatable thoughts that multiply, right? Mm-hmm. So I want you to just audit, like, literally pause this episode right where you are and think about what, when it comes to your business, maybe even where it even comes to your life, your relationships, your personal relationships, your marriage, are we thinking thoughts that are more divisive? Meaning, are we thinking about all of the possible outcomes that take us further and further and further away from our goal? Or are we looking at things and analyzing them from a place of bringing us closer to our goals? Instead of saying, oh man, I have to, are we thinking, actually, I get to, right? Mm-hmm. Man, I have to sit in all these meetings today. I get to sit in these meetings that are going to take my business and my information and skill set to the next level, right? I got to get up because I got an 8 o'clock morning meetup call. You know what? I get to show up in the morning meetup at 8 a.m. and I know that I'm going to get a piece of information that's going to skyrocket my day. Yeah. Man, I got to sit down after dinner and get with Donnie on Actionable CEO at 7:30 at night or 7 o'clock at night. I get to finish my evening being so pumped up that I can't wait to wake up the next day, yeah, right? Oh, I got this tech issue. I got to solve this tech issue. You know what? Today I got a tech issue. I get to sit down with some developers and learn so we know how to better execute this next time. Mm-hmm. Like, are we having multiplication thoughts or division thoughts? And it starts with your mindset more than it starts with your skill set. You know how many talented people are sitting around with the inability to perform and get any kind of a positive outcome because they're letting their thoughts override their talent?
Letting their thoughts override their talent.
Yeah.
Guys are so talented, but the enemy is in your head.
The enemy is the inner me. Mm-hmm. Your enemy is your INNERME, your inner me. Typically, the biggest enemy that you have is your own thoughts that you're having inside your head. I hear this guy, a friend of mine, an old friend of mine, he used to always say, the enemy can't win as long as we don't allow him within. The enemy can't win as long as we don't allow him within. So as long as we're keeping that enemy on the outside and we don't allow it to penetrate our thought process, our mindset, it can't win.
I like that.
It can't win.
I like that. Guys, I'm telling you. And I think people know that we don't really think about it, mm-hmm, because all of the people throughout your life who told you, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it, but you're the person telling yourself, you can't do it, you can't do it, you can't do it. Mm-hmm. And if you have a group of people around just telling you that, that is agreeing with your handicap, you're 100% around the wrong people. Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest value in morning meetup, actionable CEOs, because if you come on and you let the inner me, that toxic thought, mm-hmm, come out of your mouth, mm-hmm, there are people that are going to positively jump you.
Period. Stomping it out. We're stomping that enemy right on out of you.
They're going to beat you a positive stick. No, girl, you got this. No, you got this. You, mm-hmm, got this. And if you stay in the environment long enough, you start to realize, whoa, well, maybe I got this.
Which brings us to number 6. continuous learning.
I think it's seven.
Seven? Is it seven? Continuous learning, being in an environment of continuous learning. And the two best places to start, or the three best places to start right now, is making sure you're subscribed to Social Proof Podcast for conversations like this. But then taking it a step further and being a part of both the Morning Meetup and Actionable CEO, so we can unpack conversations like this. Mm-hmm. Like, you get to watch this information for free on Social Proof, but behind the doors, behind the walls, you get to come into Social Proof, you get to come in the Morning Meetup, and you get to unpack conversations like this. Mm-hmm. Also, find local masterminds, or masterminds that you have to travel to, masterminds and conferences, seminars and workshops. It's not even just for the people who are on stage. You need the energy of all of these people who are aspiring to accomplish something around you. Mm-hmm. Every single time, I learned this in network marketing, and I do it today. In fact, I just put a post up, I believe it was yesterday, asking, I'm hungry for the next conference, the next mastermind. I learned in network marketing, and this has been such a pivotal thought process in terms of building business for me specifically. In network marketing, we have meetings called Super Saturdays, right? A Super Saturday might happen once a quarter, mm-hmm. or something like that. But then you have these weekly meetings as well. So you have these in-person, or now maybe even virtual, weekly meetings that you show up to at a hotel or at somebody's house. And then maybe two or three times a year, you have your big conferences. And the idea, like, we're always building in network marketing. I'm saying we, like, I'm still in it. Mm-hmm. But in network marketing, I learned that you're always building from event to event. You're always building from event to event. So there's a Super Saturday that's coming up, and you are driving activity and productivity. We're putting challenges and awards and all kinds of recognition and acknowledgement, because when we get to Super Saturday, you've had all this month to prepare, and you can be rewarded. You can be praised and acknowledged for hitting your goal, right? Mm. And so then when Super Saturday comes, what happens? You built to the next Super Saturday. Now we set another goal, another set of achievements and recognition points for you to go from this Super Saturday to the next Super Saturday. So there's always a target, which is why I'm loving the 12-week year so much right now, because most people's target is December 31st. Mm-hmm. Let's create smaller targets to celebrate, acknowledge, reward, analyze, reset, right? And if you start plugging into things like Morning Meetup, it's like, okay, from Monday to Tuesday, that can be your event. From Monday to Tuesday, from Tuesday to Wednesday, you're an Actionable CEO. We meet every Tuesday. It's from Tuesday to Tuesday, I gotta accomplish this thing. You come to Podcast Summit, maybe you've got some goals for your podcast. It's like from event to event, from Podcast Summit to Podcast Summit. Yeah. This is what I'm looking to accomplish. Or we know that there's gonna be an opportunity for us to work together after the Podcast Summit. From this to this, this is what it is. Seriously, I built my business from event to event. Mm-hmm. So I enjoy going to some kind of mastermind or conference at least every 2 months, 2 to 3 months max. If I'm going 3 months, which I'm pushing up on that right now, I start to feel depleted.
That's why you made that post yesterday.
That's why I made that post. I start like I'm on the edge. I'm on the edge. And what it means for me is, when I say in that particular instance, building my...
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Business for event to event. Motivation, Jim Rohn says it. Motivation is fleeting, which is why we need, it's like taking a bath. We need it every single day. He says something along those lines, right? Motivation doesn't last. I am often not motivated to do a thing. I'm disciplined to do a thing. And that's a difference, right? I have goals and I have to get, I'm grown. I'm responsible. I'm disciplined. But the motivation, it comes and goes. I sat down today and I'm like, Dave, I feel really good. I'm pumped up. We don't feel that way every single time you sit down, but we got to sit down and do this. And so right now my body feels the way that I've trained myself to think. My body is like, oh, it's been a little long. It's been too long. We're coming up on third month. We got to find something to do.
Yeah.
And so for me, that when you're sitting in these environments, these masterminds, these seminars, these conferences, the energy in those rooms, in the audience, not even from the people on stage, the energy of just these hungry, successful people who are trying to get better. And I'm sitting here on the front row and I look across from me and there's a $1 billion business owner over here getting the same information. It's like confirmation that I'm in the right room, validation that I'm on the right track. It's fuel for me. It's inspiration. It's everything I need to like give it another 3 months at my best self.
This is good. This is good. Mm-hmm. I think that's why we got to go to church on a regular basis.
For sure.
Right? You find yourself in the streets, you tail off too long, just in the streets, loving it too. Or figuring out, I can't figure out why I'm feeling the way I feel. I've got all this stuff, but there's something else missing in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be around that positive environment, man. I would go with number 8, is we got to do some work on pen and paper by identifying your strengths and your weaknesses, your strengths and your blind spots.
Mm-hmm.
We sometimes get into certain businesses or certain projects that our strengths won't carry us in this particular business.
Yeah.
Or our weaknesses continue to show up. So you're doing something that's predicated on your ability to promote, but you're not a promoter.
Mm-hmm.
It's predicated on you creating content, but one of your weaknesses is creating content. So before you get into it, you need to identify, I know I'm going to have to do all of this content. This is a weakness for me. Let me solve this problem right now.
Mm-hmm.
How can I not let this hinder the success of what I'm going after right now?
Mm-hmm.
We need to put ourselves in positions where our strengths can flourish.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are a people person, you're saying, I'm going to do events because I'm good with people. I'm going to do events because one of my strengths is my ability to make people feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe you're not going to be a motivational speaker, but maybe you're going into a career as a host because your strength is my ability to get people out of their seat, connecting with other people. That's my vibe.
Yeah.
You want to be on stage, but maybe you're not as strong as a speaker.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we consider being a host. I was telling Myron this, and I did it for EYO. One of my major strengths is interviewing because I'm able to pull out of people a lot more than they can give in an ad or a promotion of a thing. So there's events going on. So my strategy now is finding someone who has an event and interviewing them on their platform. Because you can think of all the reasons why somebody needs to buy, but if you sit down with me one-on-one, I'm going to make it a little stronger, a little deeper. Two, one of the issues with events is the host of the event typically comes out, does a speech in the beginning, and they're going to close it out at the end, right? A presentation of how they're feeling. I'm like, I want to start interviewing people during their event. If you put on an event, I need to be on stage with you, pulling out how you feel throughout this event, what's going on, what you want for the people, because you're not going to be able to deliver that information in a pre-thought of presentation.
Mm-hmm.
You'll only answer certain questions that only I'm going to ask. That is one of my strengths. So I'm making it an offering. And I told Myron, I said, Myron, you got an event coming up. You should have me interview you on stage at your event. It'll create a power. You'll be able to truly get off of your heart everything you wanted the people to have outside of information. Last year, I called Rashad and Troy and said, hey, let me interview you about about InvestFest before InvestFest, because y'all talk about it a lot. But there are some things that we're going to talk about in our interview that will really allow people to say, you know what, I want to be there. It's an hour-long interview, yep. And I am not a hypocrite. For Podcast Summit, I had Jay Hill come interview me mm-hmm. about the event mm-hmm. because there's only so many things you can say in an ad or a presentation. So I know that that's one of my strengths. So career-wise, I need to be doing something that leans to my strength.
Yeah,
there's some other things that I'm very, very weak at that I just won't touch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think that is essential, understanding our strengths and our weaknesses, but further understanding if our strength and our weakness applies to this situation. Mm. It doesn't always apply. And then also beyond understanding our strengths and our weaknesses, understanding that while you may be strong at something, you still have to be willing to get better. You still have to be willing to improve. There will still be people in the room that's their strength as well. That's also their gift. And they've mastered it at a greater level than you. So you still have to be willing to be a student to that information.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hey, y'all, real quick, if y'all have an event coming up, send me a message. Let's discuss numbers.
If there are any women's only events coming up,
come on, talk about it.
Let me get that.
Come on with it. Man, I think it started out aggressive.
For sure.
But then it ended up very helpful.
This was good.
Really good.
This was good because even going through this list, like these indicators about whether or not you're serious about building your business or if you're playing, these indicators are relevant at any level of business, yes. At any level of business. I want to give a bonus. Did we do 7 or 8?
8.
8. So just a bonus number 9 is minimal procrastination. If you find yourself significantly procrastinating, it's a habit that you can change. It's a habit that you have to work on. You have total control over procrastination, mm-hmm. right? Total control over procrastination. If you are overly procrastinating, and you'll know it, you'll know because you're not getting anything done. Everything is late. You're missing every deadline. You're not making the money. You're not putting out things. Everything is off track. Mm-hmm. You'll know it. Minimal procrastination is acceptable because we are not perfect people. So you will procrastinate at some things. You will miss the mark in certain areas, but you have an idea. And I learned something about procrastination. Sometimes procrastination is not just your choice to not get up and move in your business. Sometimes if you find that you are severely procrastinating and you can't figure it out and you're struggling to fix it, you may want to talk to somebody, because procrastination oftentimes can be masked as depression, or depression can oftentimes be masked as procrastination. So I don't want you to confuse the two. If it's significant for you, you can't get out of the bed, you can't get off the sofa, that might be a little bit more than procrastination. But I'm talking to people who are action takers. I am talking to people who see that something has to get done, but you're choosing to do everything other than the thing that you are supposed to do. You are procrastinating. I am talking about the person who was supposed to do it at 1 o'clock, but for whatever reason, you do it at 4 o'clock. Mm-hmm. You are a procrastinator, okay? And you know that you are serious if you have the most minimal procrastination habits in your life.
Facts. Maybe like a bonus, number 10.
Okay.
It's not really a bonus, it's just number,
number 10.
Number 10. Right? Okay, number 10. limiting distractions.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually talked about it last week on our call, that we need to identify what the distractions are. Mm-hmm. There's some things that are distracting us and we don't know why we're not getting ahead, but it's these pesky distractions.
Mm-hmm.
Social media is a huge distraction. If you really, really think through all the time you spend doing nothing and all the time you could be putting into your business, during the time that you're doing nothing on social media, you realize that's a huge distraction. One of my huge distractions was Monopoly. We play Monopoly mm-hmm. online on the app. We got a group chat where we go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And we play, it's like 2-3 times a day on our phone, on the app. Mm-hmm. And like we can kind of talk. Every game is going to be 45 minutes to an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Last week, I had to decide not to play at all. And people in the chat like, yo, what's up? What's up? What are we doing? What are we doing? And I had to take the week off. Surprisingly, last week was one of my most productive weeks that I've had in a while, with these little windows of time that I took away from the distraction that I put into my business, it starts to expand. It starts to 10x the results, because the lack of distraction multiplies. Mm-hmm. The lack of distraction compounds. Work compounds. You could do 1 hour, 1 hour, 1 hour, but it's not like the 3 hours equal 3 hours of work, even though it's separate. 3 hours can equal 10 hours of productivity. Mm-hmm. When 1 hour of work equals 1 hour of productivity. But it starts to compound over time, because the things that happen, and it could be little things. There's small little tasks that need to get done, but when they don't get done, if too many pile up, then I have to spend a day doing it.
Yeah.
When I could just take 3 minutes to do it now, four minutes to do it now.
And let me tell you something about distractions. Mm. Distractions are convenient.
Ooh, I feel good too.
Distractions feel good. They're right here on your phone.
Love a good distraction.
A distraction is convenient. That phone call from mm-hmm. that person you want to hear from when you should be working.
Yeah.
Distraction. That Monopoly game, that app, that social media, whatever, they are convenient. But it's the most convenient way for you to stay broke.
Facts.
Distractions are the most convenient way for you to stay broke.
It's a slow rock, too.
It's a slow rock, because even if at David's pay grade, tax bracket, if you continue to honor those distractions and you're mm-hmm. continuously putting things off, you will notice that over time it's a compounding effect of your income decreasing and decreasing mm-hmm. and decreasing, and eventually it will be nothing.
For sure.
Your distractions are convenient. They are there. They are meant to distract. They are meant to tease and tempt and feel amazing. But it will leave you penniless.
Facts.
And we have to get to work.
Come on. We got to get to work,
y'all. You have to find the time to block out the distractions. It's like, okay, if you want to play the game, if you want to take the calls, if you want to do those things, find times. Identify the times where you can do it. Go crazy in those 2 hours that you said you can do it. Go crazy. But in that block of time where you said you need to be focused on getting more contracts, getting more customers, closing more deals, go crazy on that.
Facts.
Reward yourself with a distraction, with a healthy distraction. Don't be ruled by your distractions.
This is good. All right, look, man. We actually have a meeting now. And me and Donnie are going to hash out some stuff that we really need to get things on track for the business. And we're both very intentional about growth. So hopefully you all are doing things that are intentional about growth. You can't just let things happen. I want to say it was Napoleon Hill. Was it Napoleon Hill? I think it was Napoleon Hill. He called these people drifters. You just drift through life and you let life happen to you. I'm telling you, that's dangerous. So thank y'all so much. Make sure if you need an environment, you need these kind of conversations on a regular basis, join Actionable CEO or the Morning Meetup immediately.
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 But it said immediately. That's what
me saying E cause you to do E, which is
immediately.
When you're in the wrong environment.
Yeah, for sure. Toxic distractions. Anyway, you guys, join Actionable CEO and Morning Meetup. You need both of the communities. They are very similar in nature, but offer some very, very drastic differences as well. And it's about being in the rooms, all of the rooms that you can be in, all of the rooms that you can afford to be in. Don't miss out on the places that you should be in. That's another indicator that you are serious about building your business and you're not playing around. Drop it in the comments if you received anything from this episode, which I know you did. Number one, which one thing, maybe two, resonated with you the most? What are you guilty of? Where are you showing up where you're super serious? Or where are you admittedly showing up where you're playing and everybody else drop is no longer playtime, no longer playtime in the comments so we know that you're serious about building. We'll see y'all next week. Bye.
If you like the video that you just watched, click this one. You're going to like this one, maybe even more. Click it right now.
There we go.
It is.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.